Welcome to Outreach Radio, an enthusiastic and thought-provoking live radio program discussing everyday situations such as lifestyle, awareness, substance abuse, empowerment, domestic violence, mental health, parenting, weight management, and more. Join Denise Brown, Danielle Pierre, and Denise Ballester every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And now, here's your host.
Hi, I'm Denise.
Hi, it's Danielle. Welcome to the show, another week. Tonight we're going to be discussing providing support and guidance to crime survivors. And we have a special guest, which we'll introduce shortly to you, and she's going to help us along with this, give us some advice. But Denise, you've been through this, the support and guidance for crime survivors. How good was this 20 years ago when Nicole was murdered?
What?
Did your family?
Yes. I just sit there and I just think about this, and I'm looking right here at the Victims' Bill of Rights, too, with Murphy's Law here in California. But for us, I'll tell you, at the criminal courts, they had the victim services, and they were wonderful. And they really were very supportive. They were very helpful. And they were even helpful. God, my son at the time was 7, and then it was 8 years later that he was still able to get the support from that and deal with the, you know, the anger of his godmother, his aunt, his, you know, he just loved Nicole so much. And so he was able to get help even 8 years later. So, you know, it was really very cool. And they were just very supportive. And now I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this Murphy's Law and listen to this. I mean, I sit there and I just go, wow, does it really have to be a law to be treated with fairness and respect for his or her privacy and dignity, and to be free from intimidation, harassment, and abuse throughout the criminal or juvenile justice process? I mean, do they really need to write that? I mean, does that really need to be like a law? I'm sitting here dumbfounded going, whoa, wait a minute, what the heck? Aren't people supposed to be treated with respect and dignity anyway, regardless of if they're a victim of crime? I mean,
let's think about that, though, because, you know, just the crime itself means that people aren't treating each other with respect and dignity. So, of course, I would think that they would have to put it on paper as a law to be treated with respect and dignity, not harassment, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know how true, I mean, not true, it's true, obviously, but...
No, we're talking about the victim, not the perpetrator.
No, I understand that. I get that. So victim has the right to be treated with fairness and dignity and whatnot. But they weren't, you know, just the fact that they're the victim of a crime tells you that people don't, on their own, treat other people with respect and dignity. So... to me, makes sense that they would have to make it a law.
Isn't that,
do you understand?
To me, no, I understand that coming from like a perpetrator's point of view and a victim's point of view, but for the criminal courts and the juvenile justice process, I just think that that's like, it's like, wait a minute, for a victim of crime, I would think that that would be a no-brainer treating them with that dignity because of what the horrific thing that they've been through, you know, if you are a victim of crime. I don't know. I just saw this and I just thought, whoa, craziness that you have to have that written down on paper. So anyway,
yeah,
I mean, but there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on.
Well, I'm surprised that 20 years ago that you had such great support. For some reason, I thought that our justice system was pretty, well, not that it's great now, but it has certainly improved than, you know, so many years ago. So.
Any problem at all. Yeah, no problem.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, that's great to hear. So, you know, Patricia Wenskunitz, our guest tonight, she has a story too, and I think she ran into some pretty weird situations too with support. She'll correct me if I'm wrong when we get her on here, but I think that she had some issues with the courts or something along those lines. We'll get into that.
I remember going to court with her one day. And it was a woman judge, and she was just making the most horrific decisions. And, you know, so, I mean, Patricia will share that with us, too, I'm sure. And I forgot the lady's name, but, you know, the judge's name, but I'm sure she'll be telling us.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll remember.
I'm sure she will share.
So, let's, give a little background on Patricia, and then we'll break and have her, and then get her on the show so she can tell us her story. Patricia Wins-Kunis is a survivor of attempted murder and child abuse. She's also the founder and CEO of nonprofit organization, founder and CEO of nonprofit organization Crime Survivors, Inc. She's a professional speaker now, a victim advocate, motivational consultant. And so Patricia has spent the last several years empowering victims of crime to survive and thrive while bringing awareness and prevention to our communities. So she speaks to corporations, community groups, service organizations, all kinds of schools, et cetera. So the mission of Crime Survivors is to ensure the public knows victim rights and needs and to provide resources, support, and information to empower crime victims to survive and thrive. So when we come back, we'll just take a few minutes. We will introduce Patricia.
Who better to inform, educate, and motivate our families, students, school staff, and the community than the experts? The Elite Speakers Bureau, Inc. was formed to do just that. Our speakers are experts and professionals with vast knowledge who bring awareness to many issues, including bullying, abuse, violent crimes, stalking, and mental health, just to name a few. Our team of experts include renowned authors, advocates, therapists, celebrities, and more. If you would like to book one of our acclaimed speakers for your next event, or for more information, visit www.theelitespeakersbureau.com or call 949-544-1410. That number again is 949-544-1410.
Okay, welcome back. And we are now going to introduce our guest, Patricia Wins-Kunis. Patricia.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, Patricia. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. It was very interesting to hear your intro of the show, and I was like, can I speak now, please?
You know, I kind of had a feeling you were in the background. I'm like, wait, I want to talk right now. That's funny. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. So why don't you go ahead and give us a little background yourself? I know I gave a brief, but tell us your story, really. Let our listeners know where you're coming from.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I am a survivor. I do believe there is a difference between living a victim's life and a survivor's life. And I was victimized, but I also believe that I'm not defined by the crime. I believe that with the correct help and resources and support that I was able to survive and now thrive and still have moments in my life. I still have days. I still have emotional and sad and angry and confusing, you know, times in my life. But I know that that's part of my survival as well. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, April 4th of 2002, my personal trainer drugged me, tried to kill me, and threatened to kill my son. But today, I feel like that is, you know, part of it is like yesterday, and part of it is so far away. And it is also part of not who I am anymore as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a friend, as a community leader, being able to get out there and also being able to see everything that's happening in our legal system. And I have to say, I heard about the justice system, but in my personal opinion, I don't feel that we have a justice system. I feel we have a legal system that's out of control. I have felt that for 12 years and probably if I look back even longer. I think it works for some, but for the most part, I don't think it works. And I've seen a difference. I didn't see justice in my case, obviously. The guy was charged with deliberate premeditated attempted murder, burglary in the first degree, assault with a deadly weapon, and criminal threat. And he ended up serving approximately 120 days through our legal system.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have to thank you, Denise, because, you know, it's an interesting long road. I'm like a different person today than I was back then as well.
Yes, I always tell people,
I went from being a mouse to a bear, and I still haven't found my middle ground, but I'm working on that.
Yeah, but you know what, Patricia? It's better to be a bear than a mouse. I'll tell you.
That is true. That is very true. And, you know, and thanking you because, you know, one of the things that I remember and hold close to my heart is you and your family because, you know, you were going through all of your stuff with your sister and your family and everything. And, you know, when I was going through my stuff, you know, I seen you and your families, even though because, you know, call me whatever, naive, vulnerable, it was almost as if you were all celebrities to me because, you know, you didn't know me, who was I? And, you know, when I called and you picked up the phone and you took the time, and I'll never forget, you took an hour to talk to me and listen to me, and you took time out of your schedule to go to court and be there as an advocate for me. And that will be in my heart and soul for the rest of my life, and I can't thank you enough. And Tanya took hours to sit down with me and talk to me and be there, and your mom and your family have always attended our programs and events, and I'll tell you, that has made a huge impact in my personal survival, so I hope you know how grateful I am.
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you, Patricia, you definitely have grown, and you are so knowledgeable now, and you do such amazing work. And you know what? I'd like to give a little bit of credit. You know, you have your awards dinner that you guys do. And how is that? I mean, that is for a lot of the legal system, the law enforcement. And tell us a little bit about how that has changed, how law enforcement is getting more involved with the victims of crime and with your organization.
It is nice to see. It's nice to see that clear across that law enforcement has made such an impact and such a difference. You know, the last large awards banquet that we had was, well, we did a smaller one last year, but prior to that we had, you know, 500 in attendance. And it was always powerful to see you have victim advocates, you have law enforcement, you have district attorneys, you have judges, political entities that all come together with survivors to be able to honor and recognize the ones that do go above and beyond the call of duty for a victim of a crime. And, you know, law enforcement is catching so much heat throughout our nation, as you know, right now. But, you know, I have to say they have also, I will never forget the officer, the detective, and the investigator in my case. I believe it is why I stand tall in being here to help other victims, too, because they truly treated me with respect and dignity. And I see it every day. I mean, you know, granted, nothing is perfect, but I do see a large impact with law enforcement taking that extra time. And Irvine Police Department, I have to say, for one, is a cut above the rest because they have went above and beyond to put in programs and services that truly are all about the victims to be able to have hopeful healing, to survive, to get the resources they need. So kudos to law enforcement for taking that effort and that time to partner with
wonderful.
Not only crime survivors but other organizations.
That's amazing.
Well,
let's
And let's let our listeners know, back it up just a little bit. And so you are the founder of Crime Survivors, I had said earlier, but do you want to tell us a little bit about what Crime Survivors Incorporated does with what you're, you know, outside of what I've already introduced? So they get a
Absolutely.
Kind of a background here. Yeah.
Right. And Crime Survivors is all about bringing awareness to the communities. We're not here to scare anybody, but we want them to know that crime does happen everywhere. We're also
right.
about preventing crime. So what do you do to prevent crime and to bring the awareness? And also about the survival. So if you've been a victim of a crime, where do you go get help? Where do you find an advocate? Where do you find these amazing organizations and government entities out there that truly can help you not be defined by the crime and can provide you with hopeful healing to survive and thrive? And so our organization provides that support and guidance to all victims of crime. So family members of murder, survivors of attempted murder, rape, domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, elder abuse, and also human trafficking. Our goal and objective is to not focus as much on the crime, but to focus on the hope, the healing, and so that all victims know that they can live beyond what happened to them.
Oh, my
right,
goodness.
Right, and live a normal life.
Yeah, and to live a normal life. And with you, Patricia, I mean, I just remember your story and how you had just told me. You said, you know, once he said, I'm going to kill your son, that's when you Tell our audience, tell our listeners what you did once
that's
you
when she
heard
became
that.
The bear.
That's when you became the bear, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I also do believe for myself personally with faith, there is hope. And I believe that faith is, you know, a big part of my life and can be a big part of other people's lives as well. And, you know, it's hard to think about the person that I was, that I had no self-esteem, no self-respect, no self-value for myself. And although he was trying to kill me, I wasn't even able to fight as much until he was threatening to kill my son.
Exactly.
And if I can leave the message to any woman that's out there that's being abused or victimized or in a situation, is to grow yourself, find yourself, because you never know if you could be a victim of a crime or if you're being abused. Don't wait for your child to be victimized before you stop it. Stand up for yourself. Stand up and believe in yourself as a woman, as a mother. And it's sad to me when I look back and think that I couldn't fight for myself, but I am sure happy that I had my son, that I had that strength to be able to fight for him.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I mean, it's just heart-wrenching and everything that you went through. But you did. You survived. You are thriving like million times over. I mean, you're doing such great stuff. Now, you're having an event coming up as well, aren't you?
We do. We do a lot of programs and a lot of services throughout the year, and I do recommend, if anybody's listening, to go to our website, which is crimesurvivors.org, because that way they'll be able to see our mission and our vision and all of our programs and services throughout the year that we offer. But one of our large events that we do during National Crime Victims' Rights Week is coming up. It'll be on April 25th, and that's when we do our Survive and Thrive Run Walk Health and Safety Expo. It'll be held at Mason Regional Park in Irvine. And the great thing is we collaborate and partner with the County of Orange, with OC Parks, and many other entities. And that event is great because we have over 100 vendors that come. We have food and drinks. And it's really an uplifting event. You know, some people may be sad and emotional, but we do our Survivor's Dove release, where we have survivors come and release their victimization for their survival. And I know, Denise, you've been at many of those events.
I have, they were wonderful.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to
that
this year.
I like that whole, the release of the, what did you say, they released the doves for, is that what you just said? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and that's to
their victimization.
The victim in yourself, just let go. Really?
I love it. And it's always powerful because it's interesting that last year we had over 40 survivors that released them. And it's, I always tell people,
that's,
you know, they release their dove and then they give me a hug. And it's almost as a part of that, of their victimization goes to me in that day. So where they can go home and now they're empowered with my strength to survive and thrive. But the thing that some people don't realize, it takes me like a week afterwards to kind of debrief and let that go, because I know every one of their stories and their own personal survival.
No, that must be tough. I can see that, believe me, especially since I've been there with you, and and I see the faces of these people, and you, when they release, and the tears, and, you know, I mean, it's just a really amazing part of that event. And which one is this? How many years have you been doing this?
This year, the Run Walk will be its 11th year. And
wow.
For the organization, it's our 12th year this year.
Oh my gosh!
You know,
okay, how many people do you have show up for your event?
It's really good because we have over 100 vendors and over 1,000 people that will attend, and
nice.
We're trying to build it. And you know, we have moved it for, you know, a couple different locations throughout the year, and we're hoping to now stay at this location at Mason Park, because they're actually this year going to be breaking ground in order to build a victim's monument at the Mason Park, and it is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be the first victim monument being built. To be a part of that, it is such an honor, and we're so
was
excited to be able
doing?
To have that.
Was that
actually
doing?
It was. Supervisor Spitzer is actually the one that is in charge of it and has pushed it through. And we're hoping, you know, I've been on the panel and on the committee and stuff like that, and our organization has participated at that level, and we're also going to be participating more kind of like as a partnership in it moving forward. So that's exciting.
Oh, my God, that's very exciting. And to be able to keep your event there would be amazing, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For no other reason, this what really I'm really touched by this, and I'm going to tell you, because what this does in having these services and people like you, Patricia, putting stuff together like this for victims of crime and their families, because, you know, some of these are super heinous crimes, and I've been mugged before, so I know that feeling of a violation and fear and whatnot. And it's very significant. And I think what's so important here is that people now, you know, with knowing this, know that they're not alone. You're not, you really aren't alone. This world, we look at all the terrible stuff going on, but I think this is just a wonderful world because you've got so many people, as many people as you have hurting, you have more helping. And I just am so touched by this and what you're doing. And I think they have somebody actually on the line, maybe a caller that wants to ask a question. Let's see. Are you up for that?
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely.
Okay, I think we have somebody that might want to talk. Here we go. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Oh, hey, all. How are you? My name's Bob. I'm from New York, Long Island, New York, to be exact.
Couldn't tell.
Hello?
Yeah.
What? What's that?
We hear
you. We couldn't
accent.
Tell. Yeah, your accent. Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. No, just enjoying you all. That sounds a coincidence. We were talking about this very thing a couple nights ago.
About victims of crime or what?
Victims and forgiving them. Remember I sent you an article on how John Lennon's killer's living it up in prison, and now he wants forgiveness from not only Lennon's family, but he wants Paul McCartney to forgive him too, which if I'm a poet, you can't go to hell soon enough.
Yeah. Forgiveness is definitely a big part. I agree. So, well, thank you for calling and listening.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good night. You guys do great work. God bless. Peace and love. I tip my hat to you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, please do something.
Oops. And that's interesting that he's. It's interesting that there's so many people that, you know, the dynamic of when you talk about forgiveness, it's a very sensitive subject, and you know I hear it all the time, and you know I believe that none of us can tell another person to forgive, but I also do believe that forgiveness is not forgetting. So you know it depends on each individual person on what their faith and their belief is.
Well, I totally agree about not forgetting, because you cannot forget a heinous crime. You can't forget an act that was perpetrated on you, and, you know, you almost killed my sister Gone. It's like you can't forget that. I do, however, I'm like one of those, it's like, forgive? Oh, God, I just don't think so. I remember when my sister said, oh, I forgive him. And I go, oh, my God, how can you do that? How can you forgive somebody that did such a horrible thing? But I do understand now, and it took me a lot of years, Patricia, to understand that it's not forgiving the act. It's actually forgiving so that you can move forward in your life.
Right.
And I got that after like 13 years it took me, 13 years of anger, of like just being pissed off with the world. And, you know, I mean, then I finally got it. And I just
it's a powerful thing. And good for you, because, you know, when I go and I speak and I tell people, you know, I was able to forgive. I'll never forget. But it doesn't really even have anything to really to do with him. What it has to do with is me being able to not have anger and resentment and fear and such pain in my heart and soul. And it allows me to live in peace with gentleness and caring and loving other people.
Well, and that's
exactly
what you're doing. That is exactly what you do. I mean, that is your life now. I mean, you are an extremely caring person. You want to help everybody, which is so commendable. And, I mean, you're just doing amazing, amazing work.
I think you're just a really strong powerhouse of a woman. You didn't say no when people were telling you, hey, we don't have violence in our community. You said, oh yes, we do. You know,
people have been trying to get rid of me for 12 years, but I think they finally have accepted that I'm not going anywhere.
I think we're in the same boat.
Patricia,
yeah.
Crime survivors is crime survivors and somewhere something national that listeners, because we have listeners obviously now from all over the place that they can tap into, or is there?
They can. I mean, we are a Southern California organization. We are a nonprofit,
right.
So you know, we are run by donations and support and stuff. But you know, I get calls from, you know, like the caller called from New York. I get calls from New York,
right.
From Michigan, from Canada, from Florida all the time, and we never turn anybody away. I always take the time in order to find resources in their local area and refer them to them so that they do have at
perfect.
Least some connections.
Awesome.
So,
Perfect. Yeah.
I mean, I was just recently on the Surviving Evil show, which if you go on our website, you can see it, and we cropped out all the other pieces in the commercials and to watch that. But, you know, it was powerful because we've gotten so many calls from that being on Surviving Evil, and to be able to not share my story, what happened to me is not always easy, but I always say if it impacts another life and helps one other person to survive, then it was all worth it for me.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
I get that. Now, how is Crime Survivors thinking of expanding outside of Southern California, or are you just going to stay put here for a while?
Well, you know, we started in Irvine, you know, 12 years ago, and now we are all the way branched out. You know, we're in San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura, you know, all of Southern California, work a lot in L.A. County as well. The goal and objective would to be able to expand, but, you know, the hard reality is it takes money. It takes money to run our programs, our services, and, you know, when we started, we wanted to help one, and now we've helped thousands, and so I hope someday we can expand, but that's going to take, you know, a lot of finances and budgeting and stuff like that. So hopefully that will eventually happen.
Well, Patricia,
yeah,
you know, keep up the great work.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And you too.
And if you need Patricia to speak in an event, you speak at events as well. She is one of the Elite Speakers Bureau's speakers, and you can find her at www.theelitespeakersbureau.com. So if you want her at your organization or school or whatnot, you do.
Hey.
Public speaking.
Victims Crime Week, or what is it?
Yeah.
Crime Victims
National,
Week?
Yeah.
Crime,
National
yeah.
Crime Victims Rights Week is April 19th through the 25th.
Well, there you go. We've just got to get you out there and get you speaking to all those locations where they have things. So, listen, Patricia, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And, you know, continued success.
Great. Thank you so much. And if there's anything that I can ever do or anybody that's listening needs help and support, please let us know.
Will do. Thank you.
Good night, Patricia.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again next Tuesday night for another great show. For more information about upcoming shows, visit us at www.outreachradioshow.com.